where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Now it's time for Cliff Nonnemacher with Franocity.com, the franchise king. Tell us all about what you're doing and how you're doing it and your thoughts on it.
Franocity is a boutique consulting firm where we help investors, people, listeners, right? We help them navigate the process of buying a franchise. We specifically live in the franchise world, not the independent mom and pop world, but the franchise world. So there's approximately 4,000 franchises in this country. We represent approximately 600 brands that are serious about growth, proof of concept, which is critically important, brands with a good margin, brands with a healthy labor model, you know, brands that are recession resilient. And we tend to focus on brands that have what's called an item 19, and that's a written earnings claim. And it helps the investor understand how much money could I make if I bought this brand. Believe it or not, more than half of all franchises in America have no written earnings claim in their legal document, and they cannot answer that question legally. So if you asked a franchisor, how much money could I make if I buy Subway, is a perfect example. Everyone knows Subway. Subway does not have a written earnings claim in their FDD. They can't actually tell you, you will do 450, 500 grand top line gross, you will net X. They cannot legally answer the question. You're left to your own devices to work with a consultant, someone that could help you validate, you know, that opportunity. So in a nutshell, and we do it for free, which is incredible. Nobody believes it because free is the most abused word in the human language, but we work for the investor for free because we're compensated like realtors or headhunters. We're compensated by the seller, the franchisor. So we're compensated by the brand.
So if I wanted to buy a franchise, first of all, it costs a lot of money, right? Secondly, what would you tell me? Like, what should I look at? Should I make a list of everything I'm good at and everything I'm bad at, or
that is
what?
The best question I've ever heard. What should you tell me? It's the opposite. It's you need to tell me. Why are you here? That's a great question. I love that. No one has ever said it like that. I think that's just brilliant. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about you and your spouse. Why are you here? What do you want to invest? What's your appetite for risk? What's your day-to-day involvement? You have a production company. You've got your law firm. Is this a side gig? Is this ancillary income? What's your risk tolerance? What's your time horizon? Like, what phase of life are you in? Are we approaching 30? Or because a lot of times I don't see the client. I'm speaking to them over the phone, right? It's mainly telephonic or something like that. So I don't know what phase of life they're in. I don't know that they have three children still at home or they're empty nesters. Changes everything. What do you want to earn, right? So understanding big picture, do you have an appetite for debt? And you're like, no, no debt. We're anti. We just want to do a cash deal, own the business. We don't want debt. The dollar's worthless. It's expensive to borrow. Not interested. Got it. So once we learn from you and you give us your investment objectives and your reason for being here, now we recommend brands that we feel fit exactly what you're trying to do. Right? You want to manage the manager. You want to maintain your position in the production company, in the law firm. It means your bandwidth is maybe 10, 15 hours a week, right? But you have a really good person that you want to put as your manager. Maybe it's a family member. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a dear friend. Maybe it's a business partner, right? That all these questions, all this understanding of you, you know, prognosis before diagnosis is malpractice. Think about that. Everyone's quick to say, what can you tell me? Prognosis before diagnosis is malpractice. Know your client, know your patient, know what's going on in their life, then make the recommendation. So I really appreciate that question. That is a big issue in my business. And what's crazy, everyone wants to create wealth. Everyone wants to retire on time. Everybody wants to leave corporate America. Nobody wants to work, you know, in the environment anymore. But no one has put any thought into what they want, that introspective self. Everybody knows what they don't want, which is why they keep attracting the negativity, because what you think about, you bring about. It's a law of attraction. Simple. Yeah. It's not a rule. It's a law. But if people start focusing and visualizing on what they want, it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. It's that much easier to get there. And we help them get there through being disciplined and having a strict adherence to our due diligence and helping the client navigate the process.
That's really interesting. You're helping people escape from corporate America, perhaps. If somebody wants to start their own business because they want to try something different, what is the difference between starting a business with your own product or your own idea or your own service versus going into business with a franchise? Mm-hmm. What are the advantages and disadvantages? And do you see that there's any particular personality types or characteristics that favor one path over the other?
If you're too entrepreneurial, you mentioned the person that created something. Let's say there's a category creator listening, right? Someone created something. You might be too entrepreneurial for franchising. Franchising has a framework. There are curbs. We call it freedom within the framework, but there's still a framework. For example, you are not selling hot dogs at McDonald's, period. Like, why not? I want to sell hot dogs. My area loves hot dogs. The answer is no, we're not selling hot dogs at McDonald's. Like, that's the end of it. You're never going to see that on the menu. And a lot of brands can say that.
I never really thought about that. You know, I love hot dogs and I never go to McDonald's. So started, maybe that's the reason.
I started reading the book on the McDonald's franchise. I got about halfway through. It was a thick book. But that was the number one thing I took out of it, is you had to do it Ray Kroc's way, period.
Ray Kroc created a license to print money in selling hamburgers and french fries and milkshakes, right? Like at the at that time, remember, it was a very limited menu at the time. The menu is obviously expanded. But yes, and he's like, look, if you want to create wealth, if you want to make this work, if you want to have a very small percentage of failure, this is how you're going to execute my business and execute it. If you don't want to follow the framework of a McDonald's, then go build your own hamburger joint. And people have, you know, and people have failed. Mm-hmm. So your failure rate is really reduced. I have always say, everyone knows Elon. Elon Musk would make a terrible franchisee. He would meddle with it. He'd do all sorts of things to it. He would change it. He's way too entrepreneurial. He's a huge visionary. He would not be a fit for franchising. So, you know, the average person driving a truck right now that wants to get off the road, or the average person listening that has a 2-hour commute round trip to work that's tired of it, they're tired of the windshield time. It's like, look, I'm not going to invent anything. I don't need a patent attorney because I'll never patent anything. Like, for that person saying, I won't do these things, I could just join a franchise, execute flawlessly, create wealth, have a great life. And yet I didn't invent, create, disrupt, category, anything. That's what I love about the methodology of franchising. It is one of the single greatest methodologies to create wealth ever created, because you don't need to invent anything. Just buy into the model and execute flawlessly in your local market, and then scale it and hopefully have a beautiful exit one day, or create a legacy, which is a big conversation right now. Create a legacy for the children and grandchildren. Let them take the business over.
For some franchises that are maybe new and they don't really have the track record of a McDonald's, how do you counsel somebody about whether they take the risk with a newer franchise versus maybe something that's more established? Because there is risk if you're working with a franchise that's just starting out, right?
Right. Proof of concept is critical. So let's just say there's a, like, we had a brand that was in California. It was a yoga studio doing over $1 million a year. But you're a yoga studio doing $1 million a year in an area in California with household income of $250,000 in a 1 mile radius. That isn't exactly proof of concept in Tampa. That's definitely not proof of concept in a small town in Texas. In that example, I'm out. I'm not introducing that to my client until that brand starts opening locations in other socioeconomic markets and other areas that we could say, okay, this model did $1 million in California with $250,000 household income, but it's also doing $750,000 in an area where the household income is $125,000 in a 5 mile radius. So we're like, okay, now we're looking more like America, where we could put these studios. I don't really get involved in brands that have fewer than, let's say, 20, 30 locations that are scattered about, not centrally located. The benefit of embracing a young brand and taking it seriously is that all primary markets are available. There are no primary markets available for large brands. You're not even in secondaryville. You're in tertiary town, right? And no one wants to be there, which is why they're all available.
What is the range of cost of buying into a franchise, and how many hours a week do you think you have to work as an owner?
Great question. Yeah. I tell people, if you don't have 100 liquid and you're willing to invest it with a little appetite for debt, don't do this. Everyone wants to come with 30 to 50,000. It's just not enough. It's too marginal. And this is why people fail. They run out of runway. I have seen this my entire career, small business owners that are failing. And it always comes down to why. Why are these people failing? When I started, I had no money. So I bought blood in the street failures of businesses that were franchises. The most I ever paid for a failing business was $50,000. And they paid a $500,000 for it. right? So I'm giving them pennies on the dollar. And then you would ask these folks, how did you get involved in this business? Because in my head, I'm saying you should not be in this business. The answers were all over the place and they all lacked any discipline, any structure. It was my neighbor's friend around the corner was in it, so I was in it. It was always just some abstract reason to buy something. It's like, how'd you end up in that business? My cousin years ago did this. They were going on five cruises. These are true stories. They were going on like five cruises a year. Well, like, we got to do that. Right. The guy going on five cruises a year is a salesman, farmer rep. You're an engineer in a cubicle afraid to speak to people. You're not even on the same planet. You're a social introvert. This is an extrovert. Like, you're not even in the same. Nothing about you two resembles anything. And we see this a lot.
How hard do you have to work if you own a franchise? Is it 60 hours a week, 100 hours a week?
Well, that was your bandwidth question, right? Like, how much do I really need to do? I tell people, if you don't have at least 100 liquid, you're willing to invest and take on some debt, don't do this. If you don't have at least 15 to 20 hours a week of bandwidth during working hours, everyone says, oh, I got that. No, not after 6 p.m. and not Saturday and Sunday. If you need 15, 20 hours minimum during business hours, that you can manage your manager because you're not there. You're keeping your career. Nobody wants to go all in on anything anymore. They want to manage risk by keeping one foot in corporate America, and it makes it that much more difficult to scale the business. That's why they really need a good manager.
So for those listeners who may have a business and they're thinking about turning it into a franchise, what kinds of things should they consider before going down that road?
If someone has a business idea, and they want to become a franchisor and start scaling the business throughout the country, that is an episode in itself. People don't realize what they're getting involved in when they become a franchisor. You have, let's say, 100 people, 100 different personalities representing your brand across the entire United States, multiple markets. There are serious financial and resource demands that are put on that person to support them. Many of the people that are going to buy their brand know nothing about the industry. Nothing. That's the power of franchising, that you could literally reinvent yourself with the stroke of a check and get involved in any business you want.
James, did you have any questions or comments for Cliff?
You didn't talk much about AI and the impact on the franchise world specifically. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I like franchising because I feel it has the furthest distance from AI humanoid disruption. Look at home care. Home care, I have to dispatch a caregiver into the home of an 80-year-old to care for that person throughout the day until the loved one comes home. Look at roofing. Someone needs to crawl up on that roof, fix that roof, replace that roof. Look at water, fire, mold, and biohazard. Look at a hurricane hitting Florida, ripping a roof off, filling the house up with 2,000 gallons of rainwater. Who's doing that? AI is not doing that. AI could tell you how to extract water. AI could tell you how to create a vortex of air inside of a structure to dry it before mold starts entering that structure. All the things we do, hand dexterity brands have the furthest distance from AI, and that's coming from the person who's about to disrupt the world with Optimus humanoids. They are the furthest distance. So anything involving hand dexterity is really where I kind of put clients. So I focus on, real quick, five categories: any business involving tools, any business involving men's health, anything involving the humanization of pets and animals, anything involving the silver tsunami aging of America, anything involving biohacking, anti-aging, longevity, peptides, NAC, stem cells, sensory deprivation, red light therapy. I could do this all day long. And then anything involving youth enrichment due to the public school systems and parents feeling the kids aren't getting what they need to be productive human beings. Those five categories, that's the winning hand right there.
Excellent. Thank you. And we have heard that there aren't enough people doing the trades. So I think a lot of jobs are going to go to the trades. Cliff Nonnemaker with Franosity.com, all about franchising. Reach out to him if this is on your radar screen. The thing I like about Cliff is he'll give you real advice. He's not going to tell you start this franchise even if you can't afford it. He won't do that to you. So I feel like he's the real deal. So reach out to him with questions.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.